Welcome to the May 3rd, 2020 worship service of Hope Bible Church of Tampa. Our desire is that this service will encourage your faith to be stirred up and filled with zeal in pursuing our forever King, the Lord Jesus. For today's call to worship, we will be reading Psalm 42 from the New American Standard Bible. You're welcome to read along or just listen. Hear the Word of God, Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan, and the peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Dear God, we do tell you that there are times where our soul is disturbed within us. And we need you. We need you to come and be our hope. We need to remember you. We need to be reminded by the Holy Spirit of all that you have told us, all that you have shown us about who you are, and all that the Lord Jesus demonstrated to us while he walked on this earth, the things recorded in the Gospels by the faithful disciples, those who followed him, and who followed him in the years to come. And so, like them, we ask that you would strengthen our faith, that you would stir up our zeal for you during this time, that you would fill up Pastor Hogan, that you would allow him then to share your word in a manner that would transform and change our lives, I pray. So again, we commit this time to you and our lives into your care. In Jesus' name, amen. This Sunday morning, we invite you to find a hymnal or online lyric for the love of God and sing along. You may pause the audio and restart it when you're ready.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Could we within the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
We're hopeful that we will be able to begin meeting in our sanctuary in our church building within the next week or two for those who are comfortable doing so. We'll notify you and continue to follow the appropriate social distancing and other guidelines established for essential services during phase one of the governor's program, but it will be a blessing to once again have a live service. Now, with today's message, Being Emotional for God, here's our pastor, Steve Hogan.
Good morning. Glad you could be here at our virtual church service, Hope Bible Church, May 3rd, this first Lord's Day of the month of May. Glad you could be listening in. I did want to say this, just a couple things before we get started with our message, is that next Sunday will be the day when we're planning meeting back together right here in this room. I look out and I see empty pews. Of course, Kenny's still back there at the soundboard. But it'll be good to be back together. That's what the Lord has led us. We met as leaders last Tuesday night and decided it'd be good to move ahead. Of course, there are some who have some vulnerable conditions. We would encourage them not to come. But I'm going to be writing a letter, email out this coming week, just sharing some of the guidelines we felt we should put in place as we gather back together. Indeed, this has been quite the time. These last, what, 5-6 weeks? Glad that God is sovereign. That's the one truth that really, really comforts me. Just a couple things to announce before we begin this message here. One is that Johnny and Jessica Holloway will be having their baby this Tuesday, the 5th. And then Vicki Phelps will be having surgery on May 13th, a follow-up from the one she had back in February. So we'll be praying for them. Well, let's begin today. We're going to be talking about a message that I believe, well, I know is relevant to each and every one of us, about emotions. The title is Being Emotional for God, or Being Emotional for God in the End Times. Your emotions, your feelings, your moods, this is today's subject. And it's a very important one for Christians. Sometimes we dismiss emotions, sometimes you don't talk about them enough, but you can't do that because they really are a necessary part of your life. They affect you and the people around you much more than you ever can realize. I'll just read a few verses from the Bible that show that we do have emotions, then we'll get into our study for this morning. First is Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. This is emotions that relate to praise. There's David, he says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I'll be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So he's one who's emotional. He's giving thanks. He is glad. He's exulting. He's singing praise. Words all that convey this theme of emotion. On the other spectrum, turn to, if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Lamentations chapter 3. I'm just going to read through a number of verses here that convey how Jeremiah was thinking and feeling. Verses 1 through 20, he says in Lamentations 3, I'm the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely against me he has turned his hand repeatedly all the day. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. In dark places he has made me dwell, like those who have long been dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry out and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my path crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and torn me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me as a target for the arrow. He has made the arrows of his quiver to enter into my inward parts, become a laughingstock to all my people, their mocking song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunk with wormwood. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust. My soul has been rejected from peace. I've forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Indeed, those words of Jeremiah. Difficult time for him as he was there in Jerusalem and seeing the city besieged by the enemy. All of you here have had experiences with emotions throughout your life, whether it's yours or other people. And during the course of your life, you might have heard people say something like, he's really upset. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. He has mixed emotions. She's in a bad mood. She's in love. She's really sad. He hides his feelings. He really got mad. He blew his top. He's passionate. She cries all the time. He's stirred up. She's a basket case. She poured out her heart. He can't control his emotions. She really cared for him. And finally, he loved her. We all get emotional. And be honest, God made us as emotional beings. We know that God himself was emotional. And we're made as an image. We read in Genesis chapter 6 about how God was grieved that he had made man as he saw all their sin. We sure weren't made to be robots, that's for sure, which is a good thing. Can you imagine what it'd be like if we were robots with no emotions and no feelings, if everyone were bland? Emotions give color and personality and variety and energy to our lives. Emotions are an integral part of our humanness, of our personhood, of our lives. Here's some words I just want to share that convey emotion. Lots of words here, just some. Anger, anticipation, anxiety, boredom, closeness, compassion, confidence, confusion, contempt, courage, depression, desperation, disdain, disgust, envy, excitement, fear, fulfillment, grief, guilt, happiness, hatred, helplessness, intimacy, horror, hysteria, jealousy, joy, loneliness, love, nostalgia, peace, persistence, pride, romance, sadness, shame, surprise, terror, triumph, victory, and weeping. The subject of emotions is a huge subject, one that is quite complex and hard to figure out, but we need to understand it at least to some degree, or we can't live rightly for God. We can't be all that God wants us to be. We talk about people who are led by their emotions. Let's talk about a person. He goes through the day. Let's say he felt good about the day. He was in a good mood. There's no trials. Work was good. Relationships were good. Weather was good. And he's looking forward to going home to a good meal. See, most people's feelings and emotions are affected and dictated by their experiences and circumstances and relationships. And this should not be. God is the one who wants to influence and direct and affect our feelings and our emotions. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says it simply. It says we're to walk by faith, not by sight, not by our circumstances, not by how we feel. We're to be influenced by God and the truth of His Word and not be led by our emotions, by our feelings. Most people, though, live their lives circumstantially, experientially, not by truths and principles that are found in God's Word. I want to turn, look at some verses and just read some verses from 1 Samuel that express this. You go to 1 Samuel 16, 17, 18, 19, and on, and it talks about Saul and David and their lives and the conflict that they have. And you see a real contrast, and we're not going to develop that contrast here this morning, but just to point out a few things here with Saul, I'm going to read a few verses. This is 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 9, 8 through 12, and then a few others. Verse 8 says, "Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?' Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. It came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hands. Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, 'I will pin David to the wall,' but David escaped from his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Then as verse 15 it says, 'When Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he dreaded him.'" And so we see this attitude, this wrong attitude, these wrong thoughts and emotions of Saul so much. So he was so angry, so upset, so fearful that he tried to kill him. One of my prayers for Christians living in the end times and these days and these years is that we be ones who are spiritually solid, mature, or some might say at the top of our game. And this means we have to be truth-based believers, emotionally strong believers. As we get closer to Christ's coming, times are going to get tougher and tougher. And the Christians who are self-controlled, who control their thinking and their emotions, the ones who are temperate, as it says in Titus and Timothy, temperate, a word that comes from the Greek, which means literally sound mind, these then will be most effective for God. This is so important, learning that to control how you feel and control how you think, thinking that relates to our feelings. I'm going to turn to Genesis here to read this example. And we learn from all kinds of examples, good ones and bad ones. This bad one, if I can say it that way, from Genesis chapter 4. This is verses 4 to 8, talking about Cain and Abel. It says there in verse 4, "Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it.' Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." So we see this, and we're all, I believe, aware of the truth that people can have anger in their hearts, anger that's seen then emotionally in words and also then in their actions, which is what we see right here in Genesis chapter 4 that Cain could not control himself. He couldn't control his thinking. He couldn't control his emotions and his actions. Now, you have whole books written on this subject of emotions, and I'm not going to by any means be comprehensive today, and I'm going to be looking at this subject again next week, maybe the week after that as well. But I do want to share some general thoughts about this for the first part of our study here, then some specific statements about how we can be as Christians, ones who are most emotionally godly for the Lord. First point is this: is God made you an emotional being. You have a body, a mind, and a soul, and your emotions are part of your soul. And so you're an emotional being. Think about Jesus, our prime example. He was a man of sorrows. He was one who was angry, righteously so. He had compassion. He cried. He was determined. He agonized, and he loved. But how about you? God wants you to be like Jesus and have emotions like he had. Second, emotions are expressed through your words and seen in your actions and body language. Imagine a married couple talking, they're having this discussion, and then the man raises his voice. Typically, that means he's being emotional. Then the woman raises her voice. Typically, that means she's being emotional. Then let's say one of them walks out of the room suddenly. There's a lot of emotion going on, isn't there? There sure is. A lot of times, one of the main problems that people have in their relationships, they can't control their thinking, then they can't control their emotions. They're not self-controlled. And that blowing up, that raising of voices, that those discussions or disagreement or yelling at each other, that can cause major, major problems. We're talking about how emotions are expressed by words and also then by our actions and body language. Facial expressions can show a lot of emotions, whether it's raised eyebrows, a scowl, or a wide open mouth. So they're expressed in different ways. Thirdly, there's a direct relationship between how you think and how you feel, between your thought life and your emotions. This may be the most important point today. It says so clearly, and I love this verse, Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "As a man thinks, so he is." As a man thinks, so he is. This is important that you see this, that your feelings and emotions relate directly to how you think about something or someone. And when your thinking isn't good, your emotions aren't going to be good. But if you have godly thoughts about someone or something, then that will be reflected in godly emotions. Fourth point related to the third point. I just said that your emotions come from your thoughts, but your thought life is affected by how you are raised, by your background, by your experiences, by your circumstances of life, the kind of things that you went through. I remember way back in late 60s and between my 7th and 8th grade years, summertime, and a lot of young people back then would go out detasseling, working for different companies, corn companies. And it was the summertime, it was July, it was hot, and we had these half-mile rows, and you had all this corn, and you had to pick out the tassels out of this corn, and it was hard work, it was hot. You had these 7-foot stalks. I was 5'3" at the time. And I went for about 2 weeks, and I was just exhausted. I was just beat. I just couldn't handle it. So I quit. Well, right after that, I went up to my grandparents' place. Typically, we would go there as children in the summertime. And I just never forget this. There was my grandfather. We're out in the grove. He was working on some kind of machinery, which is what farmers did back there in the summertime. And he asked me how it went and the detasseling, and I told him that I quit. And I felt so bad. I felt so, so bad. I will never forget that. I still forget it. And I think back during that time, and I get sort of sad. But the one thing it did for me, I says, you know, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. If God puts me someplace, wants me to do something, I'm going to keep going. So God taught me a lesson from that. But the thing I want to say is this, is let's say you're going along someday, you start thinking about the past and some situation comes up in your mind. That thinking about the past can get you emotionally stirred up. You might get angry again, you might get sad again, or it might be some pleasant thoughts or feelings that you might have. The point is we can go back to the past, relive some situation, and relive the feelings and the thoughts and the emotions. That's really what can happen. Your thoughts are also affected by your personality. You've heard of a person who's a choleric. He's one who is more outspoken, more of a dominant personality. Or you've heard of a person who's a melancholic, one who's a little more quiet, a little more serious, one who is thinking more deeply about things. The point here is your emotions can be affected by your personality type. You also know, every one of you know this one, you can be affected by the music you listen to. You all know this. You'll be going along, and all of a sudden you hear this song, and it puts you in a certain kind of mood. You've all experienced this. Yesterday I was listening to one of my favorite Christian playlists, and the song that was playing was Morning is Broken. Morning is Broken from 1972. And the reason it just affects me so much, because that was the summer I was working in Jackson County, Florida, selling books door-to-door every week, 12, 13 weeks in a row, all day long, 8 in the morning until 10 at night. And it was a rough summer. But every morning, and the company had given us this little record player and given us a couple records to play, and one was Morning is Broken. And I love the song. And so I heard it yesterday. It just brought back memories. So the point I'm saying is that songs can be powerful. But most importantly, you need to be affected by your relationship with God. And the best book in the Bible, at least in my opinion, that talks about this is the book of Psalms. It's about relationships, and the book of Psalms is a book of songs. And next week I plan to talk about this some more. Next point here, fifth on my list here, a person cannot always pinpoint how he feels. But it's not always necessary to know how you feel, or some person might say to get in touch with your emotions. Trying to figure out what you are feeling or were feeling can be a very, very difficult thing to do. You might have some psychologist, he's sitting with his patient there, and they're talking about the past, and he might ask him, well, what were you feeling when that thing happened back 35 years ago? I tell you, it's really hard to sort of remember certain feelings. We've got to be careful, is what I'm saying, about being too introspective when it comes to our feelings. They're very fluid. They can be like the wind in some ways. Now, it's true that talking about your feelings will sometimes help you to know how you were thinking. That is true. But you want to be careful to not be too introspective when it comes to your feelings. The point I want to say here is this. It's much more important to focus on your thinking than on your feelings. Next point is this. When it comes to emotions, you don't want to say, well, that's just the way I am. You don't want to say you feel a certain way because of your age or your sex or your color or your ethnicity or your personality, and a lot of people do that anymore. Well, that's just the way I am. You have to take responsibility for your emotions, how you emote, and what you say and what you do, and not blame it on anything or anyone else. Next point is this. It's not wise to compare your emotions with those of another person. We're all different people with different backgrounds and experiences and a different emotional makeup. God made you a certain way, and God has been sovereign over your life and over your experiences and over your relationships. So always be thankful for who you are. And I'm talking about emotionally so too. Your personality makeup, your emotional makeup. Next, our emotions are often connected to and intertwined with other emotions. You may be sad, lonely, depressed, all at the same time. You may be angry and jealous at the same time. One verse that simply conveys this, Matthew 28, verse 8, is when the women were there at the tomb and Jesus had just been raised from the dead. They were there and they didn't find him. And it says this, quote, they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Two different emotions, fear and great joy. So we can have a mix of emotions on some particular situation or problem or relationship, whatever. I was thinking of Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, think what he was going through. I mean, I can't help but think all kinds of emotions. This sadness, thinking about dying for our sins the next day. The sadness, thinking about how he'd be apart from his Heavenly Father, never being apart before. But also there's the hope, because he knew that it was going to work out for good. It's what God wanted him to do. He'd be victorious. And also then the resolve, the commitment, the determination. He says, I'm going to do this. And so we see that I'm sure he had all these emotions and thoughts. So I say this because sometimes there might be one or two, one feeling that dominates your life, but oftentimes it's a mix. The next thing here, some people have a hard time separating how they're feeling from what they are thinking. You ask them what they're thinking, they start talking about what they're feeling. But you need to be able to think clearly, be able to see the difference between the two, how your feelings are influenced and affected then by your thinking. Now, on the other hand, that's the one hand. On the other hand, you can't just separate your thinking from your feelings, because your thinking leads directly to your feelings. They're intimately connected. I'm not saying that your thinking and your feeling are one and the same, but sometimes it seems that way. Sometimes it feels that way. This, I believe, is true more for women than men. We could have a long discussion about this. There's a person way back in 1992 wrote a book called Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, talking about how women and men and women are different. And I think we know this, how they think and how they process things in their mind, but also emotionally so. The point I want to make is this, though, that you as a person are a composite. You're a composite of your spirit, your mind, your body, and your soul, which is then your emotional part. That is, you can separate who you are into these four parts, but they really need to be seen as a whole. You walk up to somebody, you see them, and you think about that person as that one person. You don't separate that person into these four parts. And so, indeed, we are a composite then of all that God has made us to be. The next point is this: your emotions, more than you realize, can affect the lives of people around you in both good ways and bad ways. And you need to know this. You need to be aware of this. All of you, I'm sure, experienced this. Just say you're going along sometime, and whether it's a work situation or family situation, and there's somebody there that they're really sad. They're really, really sad. They're really down. They're pretty discouraged. Well, that can have an effect on you, especially if you're with somebody like that, and they're like that pretty much a lot of the time. They're really sad. Or let's say a person is an angry type person. He gets mad pretty easy. He gets upset pretty easily. And that can put you on edge because you don't want to be around a person who can blow his top real quickly. You don't like that. So I'm just saying our emotions can really affect the other person who's around us. Next point, this is just a basic one. If you're focused on yourself, if you're a selfish person, that is, then that will result in unloving actions and words and emotions. That's what happens. If we just think about ourselves, that will come out in some way, one way or the other. Next point is this, final point on this first part here. Emotions are like dashlights. You all have dashlights in your car, and they light up to warn you that something is, and we're talking here in our emotions, but emotions like dashlights that light up to warn you that something is wrong in your thinking. And if negative emotions keep popping up, are continually being seen in your life, then you need to ask God to help you diagnose your problem. Just like if you have a dashlight on your car and says, man, I better take this in, figure out what's going on here. Same thing, too, here. One reason we have emotions is to alert us to the fact that there's something going on in our thinking, that is negative emotions that aren't good, and we need to get it checked out. And, of course, the way to get it checked out is by going to God. So, for example, if you're continually feeling sad, If you're continually feeling down and discouraged, and ask God to help you to figure out what's going on in your thinking. I mean, this happens so much. You're just feeling down about something. You don't know why. Well, think back over the day. What happened in the last hour or two or the last day or two that you're in this kind of bad mood, this discouraged, sad type mood? So you need to think back to think what you were thinking about that helps you to see why you have that particular mood. And so, as people, we all have fleshly emotions. But how do we have godly emotions? How can we be Christ-like in how we think and how we feel? Let me share some things that I believe will be helpful. And again, I'm just going to share a few things today, then more next week. First of all, know that God cares about you. God cares about what you're feeling. God's concerned about your feelings and emotions. God is a compassionate Father. Sometimes we may not think this way, but he does care about what you're feeling. He really feels for you, and you need to know this. Of course, we see this when Christ was on the earth. He had compassion for people. I want to read just a few verses that share this, because I think this is an important point to understand about how God thinks about us and how God feels for us. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14 says, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust." He feels for us. The word compassion is a feeling type word. It comes from a word, at least in the New Testament, that relates to your internal organs. And sometimes if you're really distressed about something, you can feel it in your gut. And so that's the idea of compassion here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, just a few verses here about how Jesus felt towards people. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, "Seeing the people, Jesus felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Other versions say distressed and downcast. Another version says harassed and helpless. So Jesus could see. He knew what was going on inside the soul of a person and knew how they felt emotionally, and he felt compassion for them. Matthew 11, a familiar verse, I believe, to most of you here. Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you're worn out, if you're tired spiritually, emotionally, physically, go to the Lord. He knows. He wants to encourage you. As it says very simply there, very importantly, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I then will give you rest. Second point here, in terms of how God wants us to be ones who have godly emotions, godly feelings, is this, is meditate on God's word. For this profoundly affects your thoughts, your words, your actions, and emotions. And this is, I believe, the most important thing in this whole lesson here today. We talked about how as a man thinks, so he is. Well, how do you think? Well, the way we're supposed to think is according to the truths and the principles that God gives us on his word. That is, we need to take the time to meditate, to deeply think, to ponder, to chew over, so to speak, the truth of God's word. Psalm 1:2 says this, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So a person who's going to be a godly one, who's got godly thoughts and godly emotions, is one who loves God's word, number one. And number two, then, takes the time to meditate on his word. Daily thinking about, daily meditating on God's word is the single most important thing that you can do to be a strong Christian with godly emotions. I cannot emphasize this enough. As I said before, again, our emotional state can be off because we have wrong thinking. So we got to start with our thinking. And to have good thinking, you need to go back then to what God says in his words. Godly emotions then emanate from the heart of a person who's thinking about God's truth. Very important, this point here on meditating on the truth of God's word. Related to that is 2 Corinthians 5:7. Mentions before, you're to walk by faith, not by sight, which means you're not to live by your feelings, but you're to live by faith. And you'll be living by faith when you're living by the truth of God's word. And this truth of his word in your heart then will result then in you having godly emotions and feelings. And so don't let your feelings run your life. A lot of people are like this. I mean, they're going along and they're affected and led by their feelings. And God does not want this for us. Don't let him run your life. Let God, by his truth, run your life. That is, let God's word and not circumstances affect your feelings, affect your emotions. That's what God wants for us. You've probably seen this little or heard this little example. You got a train, and of course in a train you got an engine. And this little example, there's also, you see the caboose in this train. Well, the caboose represents the feelings and the engine represents the truth. And we don't want to go by the caboose. That's not going to get us any place. Not going to get any place trying to be led by your emotions. Rather be led by the truth. That is the engine. That's going to be that which pulls the train. Verse here in James 1:2 says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. A few weeks back, we had a message on trials. We went to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. You can also go to James chapter 1, 2 through 12, and Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, and other passages, particularly in 2 Corinthians, that talk about trials. And so he says here, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. And you can't, the thing I want to say here, you can't obey that verse unless you know the truth about why trials are good for your life, which is what I just mentioned. You find in 1 Peter, you find in James 1, you find in Romans 5, and many other places in the Bible. Point is this, you can consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, when your mind has been trained and understands the truths that relate to why God wants you to go through a trial. Then you can consider joy. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Well, why should I consider this thing that's difficult and hard in my life to be a good thing when it's so difficult? Doesn't make sense. When you understand the truth, as God shares the truth about trials, then you can consider it all joy. So again, walk by faith, by the truth of God's word, not by sight, not by how you feel. Next point, sing to the Lord. As you all know, there's all kinds of worldly and fleshly music out there, but God wants you to be singing godly music, truth based songs. And doing this will have a tremendous effect on you spiritually and emotionally. You all know this. You know that songs have truth in them, but they're also emotion. And I think all of you like music or should love music. We were made to sing. And so when you're down, sing to God. And this will have a positive and godly effect on your soul and on your emotions. And I'm sure every one of you have been encouraged and emotionally so by music, and that's a good thing. We want that. So please understand that how God wants to use songs in that way. I mentioned before this playlist of songs. Everybody likes certain kinds of songs, and my favorite playlist, and I often play this when my wife has gone out shopping or something, which doesn't happen as much lately because of this coronavirus, but when she's gone, I'll put on this playlist, and it's called Madden, M-A-D-D-E-N, Christian Hymns. I'll go to YouTube Music, and I'll find it. It's the one that's got the little picture of Martin Luther's songs there, Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and you click on that, and it's about 3 hours straight of just hymns with no interruptions, no ads at all. I love it, and it really encourages me. It really, really encourages me. And truthfully so, but also emotionally so. So I would just say that we need to be ones who are singing songs to the Lord. We also want to be ones who are listening to good music. Colossians 3, verse 16 shares this thought. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." It's an interesting verse because it says, let the word of God dwell in you so that you can teach and admonish others with psalms and hymns and songs. That is, we teach people, I'm preaching the word here, but we can also teach people with good music and singing songs. The truth of the music and the music itself can be that which can be spiritually and encouragingly, then emotionally lifting us up. That's what God wants. So I just share that again, is that God wants us to be ones who are encouraged, and emotionally so too. And that's one reason he gives us music and gives us godly music. The final point is this. The most important emotion relates to loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Loving God is based on knowing the truth about God, and the more you know the truth about God, then the more you'll worship Him, and passionately and excitedly so. Oftentimes, people aren't excited about worshiping God and with passion and emotion because they don't really understand the truth of God. The more you know God, who He is, and what He's like, and I'm talking about in your mind and in your heart, then the more that you'll worship Him and worship Him with passion. See, it's only logical for us to be extremely excited about God. So God wants us to be emotional when we are with Him and when we are worshiping Him. I'm going to close by just a couple of verses. I've shared these many times, but I love them. Psalm 145, a great psalm about the Lord and what He does for us and how we should be encouraged by Him and praising Him. Verses 1 and 2 says this, it says, "I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." Indeed, this is what the Lord wants for us. So we talk about emotions again. The most important thing is being emotional for God and being excited about Him and passionate for Him. That's what He wants. Well, again, this is just a brief message today on this subject, and next week we'll talk some more, maybe another week after that, I'm not really sure yet, on this, again, an important subject, and I want to look more at Psalms and other passages in the Word that talk about this, because God wants to understand this whole subject here. Let's take a minute now and pray. Father, we thank You for this time You've given us. Thank You that You are our God and Father in heaven. You've made us the way we are. We all are ones who have a mind, have a heart, have a soul, and we have emotions. You made us that way. We're emotional beings. We pray, Lord, You'd help us to be ones who are emotional in the way that You want, which really, again, I don't so much want to focus on. I want to focus on the fact You want us to know the truth, and as we know the truth and believe the truth and meditate on the truth, then, God, we will be the kind of people You want us to be. But I pray that You'd help us Help each and every one of us here, because we're all different, different backgrounds, experiences, circumstances. Help us then to be, again, living for you and loving you in the way that you want, with the emotion that you want us to have, with gladness and joy and peace and hope. Lord, all these wonderful things that are true, to be true in our heart, to be true in our words and in our lives as well. Lord, just pray, Lord, for our church, that you continue to help us, because indeed being a part has not been an easy thing. I pray, Father, for each and every individual. God, listen to this message. You would help them where they're at and help them to continue to be one who is devoted to you during this time where we're not with believers as much. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen them, protect them. I pray that you'd help them to trust you, to seek you, get the time with you. Again, like Mary in Luke chapter 10, who sat at your feet. We pray, Lord, we'd be ones who are getting that time with you and loving you and singing to you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be doing that. But I just pray for your leading, your blessing for each one of us here, our lives and our families. Lord, I pray too for just protection. We need protection. Indeed, the evil one is out there. We need to be protected, Lord, for your purposes and for your glory. But thank you again, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the word. Thank you for how you have made us. Thank you for this church. Just lead us now from here, as we go on from here now, for your purposes and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.